man. Thank you so much. Sit down. Shut up. Let's get on with this thing, man. A lot of you know that I am from and started doing stand-up in Arlington, Texas. And that was 19 years ago. In 19 short years, I've made it all the way over here. That's over 25 miles, folks. Best thing about coming back is getting to see dear old friends, you know. And my best friend lives here, and he bought a Mini Cooper, and we went out of his house today, and the battery was dead right on his car. So I gave him a jump start off my iPod. And I actually did nothing this summer. Not a thing. I didn't work at all. I did nothing. I sat around. You guys just bought my wife and I a big new house, and I was kind of getting it in order. And I was having a fight with the landscape guy because, like, half the plants died. You know, it cost tons of money, and half the plants died. And the guy's fighting with me over whether or not a tree is alive or dead. Right? Can you believe that shit? You know what? We walk over. There's two trees, right? Not one leaf on either one of them. It's September. The forest is abloom. Right? And I said, those two trees are dead right there. And he goes over to one of the trees, and he scratches the trunk of it with his thumb, and he comes back, and he says this, and I quote, "The core of this tree is still alive." Said, let me tell you what I'm looking for in a f***ing tree. I'm looking for a tree that you can tell is alive even if you don't know shit about trees. I don't want to spend the next 2 years every time somebody comes over to my house going, oh no, those trees are fine right there. Go scratch the trunk with your thumbnail. You will find a vibrant core just beneath the bark. I had a rough winter. My manager will send me anywhere in the winter for one reason. He doesn't have to f***ing go. Send the show pony off. He'll send back a commission. And I tour on a big tour bus with my wife and two dogs. And in January, we're in Connecticut at the Foxwood Casino, biggest casino in the world. And they were kind enough to put me in a remote parking lot. I mean remote. I wasn't anywhere remotely near the biggest casino in the world. And that nasty snowstorm slaps the Northeast this last January. And I got to walk these two dogs in the morning, and there's a thermometer on the bus that says what the temperature is outside the bus, and it was zero, right? And my wife hollers out from the back of the bus. She goes, what's the temperature outside? And I said, there's not one. This place doesn't seem to have a temperature. But no matter what the temperature is, I still got to walk the dogs because she ain't going to do it. Not the Empress. No, no, no. So I'm walking the dogs and they pee, right? Which, you know, makes me want to pee. And it's freezing outside. My dick is like that. And normally it's like that. Huge. It's that long, but it's like this big around. It's like a cheese wheel, really. I may not touch bottom, but I will stretch out the edges. With my cheese wheel, don't be afraid. I watched the Michael Jackson trial, and, you know, Michael wasn't convicted of anything, and I know people do try to misrepresent things to get money from wealthy people. And here's a little parenting tip for you, though. Whether Michael's convicted or not convicted, don't let your kid go over to Michael f***ing Jackson's house. How about that? He's got a Ferris wheel in his front yard. I guarantee you, every pervert in America is sitting outside the school in a hot van with milk duds melting in their lap going, if I only had a Ferris wheel in my front yard, they'd be lined up at the gate to get in here. Yeah, I don't know about Michael. You know, they searched his bedroom and they found the life-size dolls of little boys, one of them dressed in a Cub Scout suit, right? Well, maybe it's innocent, but if they searched my room and they found the life-size doll of a woman, everybody would assume I was f***ing it. And they would be right. This kid said he could identify Michael's penis because of distinguishing characteristics. Folks, I've been jacking off for 30 years. I couldn't pick my dick out of a police lineup. So I told somebody, I would tell the story. I was doing a show in Bowling Green, Kentucky, not too long ago. And you never know how much of the crowd you can see. It depends on how it's lit. This one's lit for a DVD, so I can see everybody. But usually I can just see either nobody or the first couple of rows. And there was a lady down front, and she was wearing a Western skirt, a denim skirt that, with buttons up the front, except it wasn't buttoned up the front. And her legs are just kind of splayed. And I really didn't want to embarrass her, and I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't because... that little attention deficit problem I've got. And I actually stopped the show and I said, ma'am, would you please close your legs? I can see your slip. And she got all mad and she goes, it's not a slip, it's a petticoat. I'm like, well, I can see the junction. And Uncle Joe needs a shave, to tell you the truth. And I'll tell you one more. I was doing a show at Fort Polk for some troops in Louisiana a few months ago, but anybody could come to the show. There were civilians there too. And I mentioned that there were 40,000 men stationed at Fort Polk. It's a huge base, and there is. And this really well-dressed drunk lady hollers out, every one of them's a bad f***. I'm like, boy, you know, it seems like after about 39,000 times, you'd start to go, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to read a book. I seem to be the only common denominator in this math equation of love. I think because of the unrest in the Middle East, we're all getting just a little bit more familiar with the globe than we used to be. And I found out yesterday there really is a place called Bump Egypt. And the only way to get there is to go up creek. And the Ayatollah of Iran died today. And they're desperately looking for the next Ayatollah. And I suggested they pick that guy they kicked out of the Oak Ridge Boys. Ayatollah Papa Mau Mau. Come on, Paul. So, I mean, I had the weirdest things happen to me. I was at a party the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a couple of years, and a guy walks up to us, right, that he knows, that I don't know. And while we're having this conversation, he stops and introduces me to this fella, and I'm not paying attention, which I'm usually not. And I go to shake the guy's hand, and while I'm shaking his hand, I realize it's not really a hand. It's got two little pieces of something here with like a web between it, and then nothing right there, and then a little stump and a web back there. It's a flipper. No offense if you have a flipper. But if you do, don't you feel some obligation to warn somebody? Especially if you know they're not paying attention, you know? I mean anything. Like, watch it, it's a flipper. Because I end up accidentally hurting the guy's feelings, you know? I'm like, oh yeah, nice to meet you. What is that, a flipper? And you feel bad. I'll touch his flipper. I just gotta see it first. I gotta get ready for the flipper. Can't be shocking me with the flipper there, buddy. I did a comedy club to warm up for a show in Atlanta not too long ago, and the comedy club, a little 250 seat comedy club, and that I'd been banned from for 10 years for bad behavior. And I didn't even argue when they did it either. That's how bad the behavior was. I was like, I get it. So I went back, and the audience didn't know I was going to be there. And when I walked on stage, I noticed that there's a big bachelorette party down front. Now, I've done a lot of shows in the last 19 years, and bachelorette parties are never good news, right? Because, and now I love women, don't get me wrong. And I especially love drunk women. I always have. But you cannot compete with a bachelorette party for attention because basically they don't need you. And they've got novelty items. They've usually got their own straws with them. And the top of the straw is shaped like a little penis. They've got pacifiers, and the pacifiers are shaped like a little penis. And as the night went on, they would laugh harder and harder, not at me, but at themselves, because apparently the drunker a woman gets, the funnier they find little tiny penises to be. Which might be why I like them so much. Well, this night I saw something I'd never seen before. These ladies had an 8-inch long chocolate penis on a stick, and it was wrapped in cellophane, and nobody was touching it. It was just sitting there in the middle of the table. And try as I might to ignore it, I could not, because instinctively I knew that before the night was over, this big chocolate dick was going to hurt me. And I was right. It's a great show. I got about 5 minutes left, and for some reason, these ladies decided to get this thing out and start passing it back and forth to see how much of it they can get in their mouth at one time. Nobody's watching me anymore. Everybody's watching this dunk contest. And the thing that struck me as odd is that nobody was offended by it. All the women are looking at him going, oh, aren't they having fun? Don't you remember when Becky had her bachelorette party and how much fun we had? And I'd be back, Becky, 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 Becky. All the men are going, is this free? And it's a double standard, folks, because I guarantee you, if there were a group of men in this room right now that whipped out a little sack of gummy pussies, I don't know what that last noise was. But over. Or however you do it, you know. I make a little racket. Cheers, folks. Somebody asked what I was drinking. If the company that made the stuff I was drinking was paying me, I'd have it in their bottle and not mine. But it is the kind of scotch that people drink that are going to die penniless. It's good, though. I had a great year last year. I got married last year to Barbara, my wife, a wonderful woman. And, Barbara was actually Jeff Foxworthy's interior designer when I met her. So not only was Jeff really responsible for my success in my career, but he also introduced me to the woman I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, which I think makes us even. Barbara's my age. I didn't marry a kid, you know. I married somebody that really stimulates me intellectually. Very smart girl, 2 degrees, great business head. Now, she's also very sexy. She's a beautiful woman. But if I could give advice to the planet, it would be don't marry for looks alone. Go in either way. And I'll tell you why. In a few years, if Barbara's boobs start to sag too much, there's a place you can go where they can just lift them right back up where they were, and they can move the nipple wherever they want them. You can actually go to a titty bar, pick out a set of titties, and say, I want those titties on that woman right there. If her belly gets too big and she doesn't want to work it off, you can go get a tummy tuck. They'll give you a belly that looks like a cheerleader. You know, if your eyes go bad, you can have LASIK surgery and they can give you 20/20 vision at any age. If your hearing starts to fail, they could put a device in your ear that'll make you able to hear as good as you could the day you were born. But let me tell you something, folks. You can't fix stupid. There's not a pill you can take. There's not a class you can go to. Stupid is forever. We just got back not too long ago from our honeymoon. We went on a cruise to Santorini, Greece, and the cruise was fine. We fought the whole time. And I knew we were going to, and the reason is, she booked the cruise, right? Then she shows it to me on a calendar. And the cruise is at the end of the month. Guess what else happens at the end of the month over at our house? I'm looking at it going, oh great, I'm gonna have 7 days in a little cruise ship room trying to get Jeannie back in the fucking bottle. And my wife's the nicest person I ever met, but you get her PMSing in a couple of glasses of red wine, she turns into, let me tell you something about you that you don't know. I'm all ears, honey. Now, I'm not making light of women's periods. I would never do that. That's serious stuff. If that happened to me one time, I'd be in the hospital, you know. It wouldn't be any of this nonchalant, oh, look, I'm spotting, f*** that. I'd be running down the road like my hair was on fire. screaming, "My balls are bleeding! My balls are bleeding!" But it's our honeymoon, man. And my wife is on her period. She won't have sex with me at all. No way. Which is bullshit, because if the roller coaster's broken, they don't shut down the whole amusement park. Because if they did, you'd be standing outside that fence going, "The log ride's working." And I've got some coupons. Foxworthy, right before we leave to go on this thing, Foxworthy gives me a Viagra. Now, I had never taken one before, and I told him, "Buddy, I don't need that." And he goes, "Seriously, dude, you take this on your honeymoon night, you will come back home and thank me in person." I'm like, "All right." So I take it, right? And I walk into the little stateroom there, and she goes, "I'm just not in the mood." And I'm like, "Yeah, me either." My dick was hard enough to hunt with. I could have chased down an elk and beat it to death with this dick. Oh, shit, I broke an antler. I was going to have this thing mounted. Now I'm going to mount this thing. Come here. Give me something else to f***. Hand me that parrot. And that wasn't even our biggest point of contention. Our biggest point of contention. That was my impression of a parrot desperately trying to get away. I just added that to the show. He's afraid of the cheese wheel. Our biggest point of contention was that she wanted me to hang out by the swimming pool all day long, every day. Now, normally I would have done it. I'd have just laid there in a lounge chair and read a book just to shut her up, because at this point, I'm out of diamonds. But I didn't want to hang out by the swimming pool all day long, every day, because there was a fan of mine out there, bless his heart. And this guy wanted to talk to me all day long. Yak, 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 yak. This guy told me his entire life story against my will. This guy raped my ear. This guy forcefully shoved unwanted information into my ear hole. No means no. This guy's telling me stories somebody else told him about somebody they know. I'm third generation, don't give a f-. And I felt bad for the guy, man. His story was that his wife left him and started sleeping with all his buddies. But I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Well, I wish I knew you better. I just f***ed an elk and a parrot. Human p*** is sounding great to me. Well, that wasn't even the guy's worst quality. This guy was amazing. This guy was about 60 years old. He was in great shape. He was a marathon runner. And he was a little guy, about 5'5", 5'6", 130 pounds maybe. And he had a great big nose and huge hands and this little bitty bathing suit with what looked like a squirrel living in it. I shit you not. And he wouldn't just talk to me either. He would lean this thing into me and bob it around a little bit, I guess to make sure I noticed it, right? But there's people on the other side of the swimming pool going, look at the dick on that guy. I wonder what he feeds it. Well, we make it to Santorini. Now, Santorini, Greece is a little bitty, tiny island, and it's the partial rim of an ancient volcano. And for 2,000 years, folks, the only way to get to the top of the rim on the port side of the island was to take a donkey 800 feet up these switchbacks. It takes forever. Until 5 years ago, somebody built a tram that does the same thing in 18 seconds. And I was shocked to see the donkey guy still in business, even though he had the worst sales pitch I ever heard in my life. It was, you can take the donkey to the top of the rim, or you can take the tram. It is the same price. That would be my biggest secret if I were you, buddy. I'd start lying to people as soon as they got off the ship. The donkey is $3.50. The tram is around 2,800 euro. Shit, saddle me one up. Come on, honey, it'll be fun. And you're in such a good mood. Maybe a donkey ride would be just the thing to cheer you up. Well, as it turns out, I'm a tram guy, right? So we take the tram up, and then we got to walk up from that, straight up these ancient cobblestone streets, up, 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 because there's one more church in the Mediterranean, and we haven't seen it. And I'm sweating scotch from every pore on my body. There was a huge party the night before, and I was more f***ed up than Courtney Love at the Pamela Anderson roast. And we're going uphill. I'm a downhill tram guy. And I know I got about 10 minutes of this uphill stuff left in me, and I'm going to want to go back to the ship and sleep it off, right? And we walk by this little place that rents scooters, and I tell my wife, why don't we rent one of these scooters, and we can just buzz around the whole island on a little scooter. She goes, we are not getting on one of those scooters. I said, let me rephrase that. I'm going to rent a scooter. And if you'd like to, at some point, hop on the back of it, that'd be fine. Or you can watch my little tail light fade away into the ditch. She goes, you don't even know how to ride a motorcycle. I said, I've been riding motorcycles my whole life. As it turns out, though, I don't know how to ride a scooter. This thing was a piece of shit, man. It had a front wheel the size of a donut. My knees are in my ears. My hands are this far apart. Buses going by. She's screaming, stop this thing, God damn it. I'm screaming, lean the way I lean, God damn it. Like a monkey in a sidecar. Well, after a little while, we start to get the hang of it, right? We make our way down the gentle sloping other side of Santorini, right? And you get down there, and it's just these knocked out beaches and bars and restaurants. It's the promised land. My promise. And we make up from our little tiff, and we start walking down the beach hand in hand, and it turns out that part of the beach is a nude beach. Guess who's there? Squirrel Man. And he has got what looks like an anaconda laying in his lap. First time I saw it, I said, that thing must have ate the squirrel. And he's not even laying flat on his back. He's leaning towards the people that are walking towards him. And I didn't begrudge him a bit, because if it would have been mine, I would have been holding a picture frame around it. You can take the donkey to the top of the rim, or you can ride this. It is the same prize. Is a brilliant woman. She really is. She came up with a solution for the overpopulation of our planet. And it was a brilliant idea, and simple, like most brilliant ideas are. Stop spending money, she said, on research for the development of products like Viagra and Cialis. And instead, invest that money in research to develop a product that'll make semen taste like chocolate. I told you it was a good idea. She'd be chasing me down the sidewalk. Come here, Willy Wonka. Get that little chocolate factory back over here, mister. There's got to be one more in there. Normally, she's a very sensuous woman. One time we were driving down the road and she decided to give me the highway delight. Or as I like to affectionately refer to it as, a mouth hug. And I was pleasantly surprised, but the other people in the carpool got all pissed off. I'm like, hey, we gotta get these kids to school. And she loves chocolate. I think it's kind of odd that as long as I've been touring, 20 years, a lot of travel, I'm not a member of the Mile High Club, where you have sex in a plane over a mile off the ground, or however the hell you got up there. I did jack off in Denver 2 weeks ago. I am a member, though, oddly enough, of a little club I started called the Mile Ahead Club. That's where you fuck someone behind a Cracker Barrel billboard. We're having a membership drive, too, so grab your partner and skip to Malou. I think the most often asked question I have on my website is, why am I not a bigger part of Blue Collar Television, which is Jeff and Larry and Bill's show? And the answer is my work ethic. My grandpa used to say, that boy's got a lot of quit in him. And as a young man, the things I didn't quit, I got kicked out of. I got kicked off the high school debate team for saying, yeah, well, f*** you. I thought I had won. The other kid was speechless. I thought that's what we were trying to do. Kind of weird. I'm from a little bitty town in northwest Texas called Frisch. It's where I was born. Like you fucking heard of it. It's a little bitty town. This town is so small, folks, that one year our high school marching band formed a period. Two years later, they made a comma. They were kicking some ass. Right outside Borger, that's exactly right. Now, I moved from there fairly young, and my cousins and relatives all stayed there, and I ended up growing up being quite a bit different than them. And my cousin Ray, who I've told stories about, the hunting story, but it's kind of weird because this is how different we are. He's a homophobe. I can't believe I'm not gay. That's how far apart we are on the food chain. Now, I'm not gay, but look at these fucking shoes. Now, the reason I say that is who knows how things are going to turn out in life. And the reason I say that is from the time I was 9 till I was 13, I was raised by my grandmother, right? In a ho-dunk little town, and there's nothing to do, right? Well, the year I lived with her that I turned 13, I figured out something really fun to do. And my grandma caught me in the bathroom just to doing it. And my grandmother, bless her heart, was a very religious woman, and I was mortified by this, and she came up to me later, and she said, it says in the Bible, young man, that it is better for your seed to fall in the belly of a whore than on the ground. And I was like, well, it's tough to argue with that kind of logic, Grandma. You got 50 bucks? The first time I ever had sex in my life that somebody else was involved with it, my grandmother caught me in her garage having sex with this girl, and my grandmother said, one of these days you're going to be standing side by side with the Lord, watching your life pass before your eyes, answering for each and every one of your sins. And what are you going to say to him, young man, when this little episode turns up? And I said, I'm going to tell him, watch this, here comes the good part. I was throwing some dick in this one, wasn't I? That's that 15-year-old back right there. That son of a bitch could go. Now, to fully understand this, you have to understand who my grandmother was. My grandmother and her family moved to the panhandle of northwest Texas at the turn of the last century in a covered wagon. Very poor, very rural people. And as a child, I would just have to look a little bit sick, and my grandmother would start cramming things in my ass. She had an anal thermometer from the 1800s that was that long and that big around, and the only way she had to take my temperature was to shove this huge antique glass rod in my ass and suppositories, gigantic ass pills. I don't know where she got them. They were that f***ing big. She would take these gigantic pills and shove them in my butt, and enemas. She would stick a hose in my ass and pump hot water into my bowels, and I hated it at first. Then I was like, I feel dizzy, Grandma. Was that my fever breaking? I got mixed messages as a child. My dad would spank me, and they go, now you do me. I'm like, what the fuck kind of... I was talking to my cousin Ray the other day, and he said, this world would be better if it wasn't so many queers. And I said, you know what? The next time you have a thought, let it go. I told him, we're all gay, buddy. It's just to what extent are you gay? He goes, that's bullshit, man. I ain't gay at all. I'm like, yeah, you are, and I can prove it. He goes, fine, prove it. I'm like, all right, do you like porn? He goes, yeah, I love porn. You know that. I'm like, oh, do you only watch scenes with two women together? He goes, no, I watch a man and a woman making love. I'm like, oh, do you like the guy to have a small, half-flaccid penis? He goes, no, I like big, hard, throbbing cock. You like chocolate? I'll never forget this night as long as I live. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You guys have been so kind to me and my family. Thank you very much. Good night.